After traveling more than 18,000 miles across three continents and through both hemispheres, Lael Wilcox is back home.
Hi, NPR. It's Lael, and I'm about to finish my ride around the world. Can't break the record.
We caught up with Wilcox over the phone on the final leg of the bicycle trip.
I'm feeling incredible. I'm on day 108. I've ridden, I think, 18,100 miles, and I have 50 to go. So the home stretch, I'm almost back to Chicago, and incredible.
Lael Wilcox joins us now to talk more about this accomplishment of biking around the world. Welcome to All Things Considered.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
One of the things I was going to ask you is, you just finished biking around the world. How long are you going to stay off the bike before you hop back on? And I think the answer is, we actually caught you in the middle of a bike ride today.
Yeah, my folks came from Alaska to come see my finish, and they wanted to go for a bike ride on the waterfront in Chicago. And I thought, there's nothing else I'd rather do.
Yeah. How are you feeling about this accomplishment, and how were you feeling when you called in and left us that note? How are you feeling on those final legs of this journey?
Oh, gosh, I think I've just been on a total high. From 3 days out from the finish, I just got this feeling like I can do this, and I felt like I was flying, and I'm still kind of riding that wave. I just had so much fun out there, and it meant so much to me, and it also felt so good to be coming to the end of it.
Let's back up to the beginning, though. I'm curious, first of all, when you got really serious about cycling, when it went from a hobby to, no, this is something I'm going to dedicate myself to.
I started borrowing bikes when I was 20 just to get to work. I was working at a brewery 4 miles away. I've never owned a car and I don't drive. And before that, I just walk. But it was too far to really get there within a reasonable time. So started borrowing a bike, getting to work, and then quickly moved from riding to work to all over the city and then visiting my sister in the next city over. And then I thought, oh, if I could ride to the next city, I could ride across the country. So then I spent like the next 7 years riding around the world, working odd jobs to pay for it. And towards the end of that stint, I entered my first race, and ultra distance race, with my inexpensive bike and the gear I was using to travel. And that's when it really clicked. That's when I figured out it was something I loved and something I was good at. And I've just kind of gone from there.
Yeah. So, and first of all, I just want to congratulate you. Among other accomplishments, you just said the most NPR sentence in the history of NPR on air about biking to your job at the brewery. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
This is a good time to pause and explain. You have been documenting this journey in a wide variety of ways, and people have been following it. But for people listening who haven't followed, they might be thinking, wait a second, Oceans. Can you just explain the logistics
totally.
Of how this counts, how you approach it, what goes into those logistics?
Right. So you have to piece it together, because there are oceans and there are borders that you can't cross. And, you know, there are kind of limitations in a way. But there's like a set of 5 rules or so to go after the Guinness World Record. You have to ride a minimum of 18,000 miles. You have to ride either east or west. You have to cross 2 antipodal points. So if you took a spear through the globe where it hits the 2 other sides, for me, that was Madrid, Spain, and Wellington, New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And then you have to take commercial transportation across the ocean or between start and end points. And you can't really zigzag. You could go kind of backwards 5 degrees. So that's something like 300 miles, just because sometimes the roads aren't just directly east or west.
Your time on the road was documented by your wife, who's by your side along the way. She's also part of your podcast, where you documented nightly updates along your trip. Tell us about the role she played and why you decided it was so important to document this.
Well, at first, I decided I wanted to do this ride. And my wife is a professional photojournalist, but I didn't want to pressure her to coming to do it. I knew it was going to take like 3.5 months, flat out, pretty exhausting endeavor. So at first I was like, I'm just going to go and don't worry about it. You don't have to come. But for me, really, it's that we got to have this life experience together. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, it would be pretty sad for me to just do it alone, and she wouldn't get to see all these beautiful places or meet all these people and be part of it. So I'm so, so grateful that we got this chance.
That gets to the last thing I wanted to ask you about. We mentioned before, we were talking about Guinness and records and things like that. You wrote out what your goals were for this attempt at the beginning, and I'm wondering if you could read one section of your mission statement as it was.
Absolutely. So I've got it pulled up here. It says, Guinness does not distinguish between supported and unsupported rides. I want to invite people living near the route to ride with me. I'm not just riding through places, but also people's lives.
Can you tell us what you meant by that?
I had an open invite for people to come and ride any section of it they wanted with me, or even just come out to the roadside and cheer or, you know, be part of it in some way. And I had thousands of people come out. It was so awesome. You know, I'd be through a super remote stretch like British Columbia where, you know, there's maybe a gas station every 150 miles and there's nobody out there. I saw like eight bears. And then I get closer to a town and all of a sudden people start showing up. You know, a family with two kids and another guy that brought me a pastry and a nurse coming out in her full scrubs with a stethoscope just to say hello, or a construction guy that knew I was riding. So sometimes I wouldn't know if they were there for me or if they were just there doing their own thing. And there was kind of like a cross-section of that. It was so cool. It just made me so excited and so awesome to have that as part of my trip.
That was Leah Wilcox, just wrapped up a trip cycling around the world in 108 days. You can hear more about her adventure on the podcast, Leah Rides Around the World. Thank you so much for joining us, and I guess we can let you get back to your current bike ride.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much.